Welcome to the RSP Cast. I'm Matt Waldman with the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. This is episode number 36 and the third in a four-part series that listeners have requested me to do to give my top five players at each skill position. And I've done one with Matt Harmon of Reception Perception fame on wide receivers, also with Will Hewlett, the quarterback coach, on signal callers. We each supplied our top five, as well as some players that we believe deserve more recognition. And I'm going to do a solo gig on running back. I was hoping to get a guest, but in order to keep this podcast, you know, frequent enough, you know, coming out on a consistent weekly basis, I'm in the middle of a move. I sold my house yesterday, moved out the weekend before, and I'm in a hotel right now for a number of weeks somewhere on the north side of Atlanta doing this podcast. And I didn't really have time to coordinate a guest schedule with everything that I was, you know, still needing to do. So I'm going to give you my top five running backs. And you know that, you know, I'll probably give a little bit of a different lilt to this than a lot of people will. But, you know, you've come to either love and trust or question and fear my thoughts on running back position. And I think it's probably more the former than it is the latter, unless you're just an athlete hound. And so I'm going to give you my takes on some of these guys, as well as some guys deserving more recognition. One of the guys that, you know, I think that you have to start with, and I'm just going to put him at the top of the list. It's not who you think, especially if you've seen some of my tweets recently in the past couple of days. It's Ezekiel Elliott. If I had to pick a running back that I would want to have long term on my team in terms of just straight up ability, in terms of knowing what he can provide me as a running back, I want Ezekiel Elliott. And the reason is that he's probably the most versatile technician at the position that I've seen in recent years. He's got tremendous pad level. He understands really how to bleed yards, getting his pads under defenders and really being able to drive defenders backwards or just to bounce over the top of hits or underneath contact. He's got a lot better burst and long speed than folks, I think, sometimes realize. He has elite speed, and he's a guy, you know, he can take it outside on you. He can also, you know, turn it up the middle and be able to, you know, turn an 8 yard type of gain into something that's 2 to 3 times longer than that in many instances. So, you know, you have that athletic ability you're looking for from in terms of an acceleration speed aspect. You have the great pad level to be able to get under hits, but he's also, you know, that versatile array of getting yards. Some backs are very good at stop start moves. Some guys are really good at being able to alter their footwork stride. Some have great cuts. Some have a spin move that they lean on all the time. Some guys deliver the stiff arm or the hurdle or the forearm. And it's like they have one or two punches in their arsenal if they were boxers. It's like, watch out for the left hook. And then if he delivers the left hook, he also follows that up with, you know, a right uppercut. Okay. And you kind of know that they've got those, a couple of really good punches in their attack. Ezekiel Elliott's the type of guy that has all of that. He can spin off you. He's not always trying to hit the spin move. He can stutter step and stop start, but he also has the ability to make those parallel cuts or hard lateral cuts. He can also alter his stride. He's excellent at adjusting his pace, especially on runs where he's already outside and being pursued. You'll see him sometimes slow down just a little bit to bait somebody and then reaccelerate. So he's someone that's really tricky to be able to get a feel for what he's going to do. You try to anticipate him and he's going to cross you up. And that's what makes him really dangerous on that level. I also like that he catches the ball. I mean, he's not just a screen guy. You can see him in, you know, a lot of his tape making plays with his back to the quarterback. He can catch the ball well with his hands. So when I think about what I want from a runner, I want someone who can carry that load. You know, if you want to give him the ball 300 times in a season, as just purely a between the tackles runner, he can do that. Do you need a guy who's dangerous enough that he can be a breakaway threat and you can throw, you know, use him on toss plays if you have a good perimeter run blocking unit? Absolutely, he can do that. He can run outside zone. He can run inside zone. He can run, you know, gap plays and man blocking plays. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that as well. But he's, you know, he's one of those guys that no matter what offense you put him in, he's going to do the job for you at a, at one of the highest levels that you're going to see at that position. So, you know, in terms of just pure skill at the position and what it demands, even as a pass protector, Ezekiel Elliott would be the guy that I want the most. Now, as, and this isn't necessarily a list of guys I'd take in order in terms of a top five, but you know, if I were going to give a superlative like that, he would earn that. After that, I'd probably say if there's a guy that I'd want to have, you know, over the long term based on what he offers on the field, and I don't have to worry about his maturity or lack thereof, because we've had to worry about that with Ezekiel Elliott to some extent. I would probably say Todd Gurley, because when you take a look at what Todd Gurley has to offer, I understand that Sean McVay's offense has been so good that Todd Gurley this year and some of last year, he's getting some easy opportunities at the goal line. You can see him, you know, running through some wide open creases that you don't always see with a lot of backs, at least with the frequency that he's earned it. But if you go back and look at Todd Gurley since the beginning of his career, as well as his NFL career with Jeff Fisher, or even, you know, before that at Georgia, you have to understand that this is a back who has tremendous contact balance in terms of direct contact, lowering his shoulders and pads into defenders and coming to him head on. He can bounce off those hits. He has the absolute, you know, he has great skill at being able to bounce things outside. He can really open his hips well, and he's just instant with his acceleration. And that acceleration is important because you can see that combined with his ability to run through reaches and wraps, he's someone that, and bouncing off direct contact, he's someone that you can use him in both a gap style running game and a zone style running game. He's played both and excelled at both. And that's hard to do. That's one of the reasons why Elliott's at the near the top of the list. But Gurley may be even a little bit better than Elliott in terms of his versatility in both running attacks, not so much because he has the variety of punches in his arsenal that Elliott has, but it's because his burst is so insanely good for his size that when you watch him hit a crease, he can crease the first level and second level of a defense in a way that few backs can. I mean, it's track type of speed in a 230 pound body. I mean, you're looking at, you know, there's times that when you watch that acceleration, you're looking at it and go, wow, that's like vintage Chris Johnson burst. And in a gap style scheme where you really are trying to hit just one crease most of the time, the design is to have a very quick accelerator at that position to be able to make your gap scheme go. And Gurley can do that for you. But he also has terrific cutback ability and bounce out ability and his diagnostic skills to read the one, two, or three options in front of him for a zone scheme is also fantastic. And that's what's underrated about zone scheme backs. People don't realize sometimes that a running back can make two, three, sometimes maybe four decisions, or have to cycle through four possible decisions while running at defenders in a shorter period of time, or as some quarterbacks who are dropping away from defenders, making two, three, or four decisions in when to throw the football. And I'm not saying that running back is harder to play than quarterback. Quarterback is a game of managing other people. It's a game of tremendous strategic knowledge that has to be there, and a certain level of understanding of what the offense and the defense needs to be doing all at the same time. But from the element of having timing with your technical and physical skills, being in tune with a certain number of players and what's going on, running back is deceptively difficult when it comes to being able in a zone scheme to be able to make those types of reads, time that with your footwork, and then be able to know when to improvise off of what the schemed play is and do it appropriately, in addition to breaking tackles, making people miss, timing your acceleration, timing your pacing, and creating that space that you need to be able to hit creases. And so, you know, some schemes are a little bit easier than others, but that zone scheme is a harder scheme, and Gurley makes it look pretty darn easy a lot of times. Then when you combine that, you know, short area acceleration with that long speed and that tackle breaking power to pull through wraps and the ability to bounce off of hits, and you get a player who also can catch the ball, you know, up the seam, screen passes, in the flats, uses his hands well as a receiver in the intermediate game, you have a really complete back. I think he's a little more predictable than Ezekiel Elliott in terms of what he's going to try to do to you as a defender, but he may be even tougher to stop when it comes to his ability to hurdle defenders. Both these guys were high hurdlers who were high school stars. The difference is that Todd Gurley was probably coming closer to being an Olympic level hurdler in that area. And you see that in terms of the way that his speed translates to the field, his acceleration. And so he's a guy that I think is a little bit more like, his athletic ability is a little better, to the point that defenders are like, we know what he's going to do, but it's still hard to stop him, especially like on bounce outs to the edge. Whereas with Elliott's got a diverse number of punches in his arsenal that's a little bit more versatile than what Gurley does. They're both great backs. I would be thrilled to have them on any team because they can run just about anything you want them to do. After that, let's take a look at some more other guys that are on my list. Well, let's go with Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara was a guy that I underestimated when I scouted him. I was worried about his decision-making between the tackles. He bounced a lot of things outside of Tennessee, and he did it in ways that were painful to the team. I mean, he hurt his team with some of the decisions that he made. But when he got to New Orleans, he fixed that. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him make a decision that I'd look at and go, wow, he really needed to do that one differently. And he did that. And there were a lot of times at Tennessee where I felt that way about his decision making. But what sets him apart is that he's a smart running back. I mean, that in itself, that he was able to make that correction is a great sign of maturity, intelligence, work ethic, ability to acclimate and adjust, but then also improve his ball security. He had bad ball security. He holds that ball high and tight most of the time. I have not seen many fumbles from him at all. He's vastly improved in that area. Again, those are very impressive things about a football player. What he always has had is that he is an excellent runner after contact in the area of indirect contact. When he gets momentum and he's accelerating through a crease and someone reaches or wraps him or even delivers a hit on him from a sideways angle, he has some of the best after contact balance in those areas of any back in the league. And he's been that way at Tennessee. He's that way now in New Orleans. He has strong footwork. Rarely do you see him leave the ground except to hurdle. You know, when he's running to change direction, you don't see a lot of jump cuts or wastes of motion. He tends to vary his stride length by cutting his steps really well, or he bends runs extremely well. He's someone that he's always seems to have his feet on the ground and moving forward. And it's a great skill for a running back to have, because while being able to jump, cut and move, it can be, and get those great swaths of grass by being able to stop, start and leave your feet can be important. It's also great to know that you can make those changes of direction with a little more subtlety and maintain your feet on the ground, so it's harder for defenders to knock you off balance with that indirect contact. So he's got great footwork, and he's one of the best boundary runners in the league. And what that means to me is that when he turns a corner and he gets to that boundary, he stays in bounds very well. He's just got really precise feet, and he can just kind of bend that edge and not go out of bounds. Or when he catches the ball facing the quarterback and turns up field, his turns are so tight that defenders can't get a good angle on him when they're coming downhill to get him, because he's not taking wide angles. He's taking very narrow turns. So it allows him to get upfield fast. It allows him to be able to maintain his balance well, and it prevents defenders from getting strong angles on him. I think he anticipates creases really well, especially tight creases between the tackles. He knows what his assignment's supposed to be, how his blocking assignments are supposed to set up, and he's willing to hit those creases and begin to accelerate before the crease fully opens up. And so, his ability to get small and to anticipate those types of openings are great. And I think that his footwork is also extremely economical. And I think that fits along well also with when I talk about keeping his feet on the ground. I just think that if you try to reach for him high while he's running near you, you're not going to tackle him. So Kamara, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, all fantastic players, all can catch the ball. All of them have breakaway ability. All of them have skill to be able to pass protect. And they're guys who can run between the tackles as well as get outside for you. So let's go to my fourth and fifth guys. And some of you are going to probably smile ruefully when I start telling you about who my fourth and fifth guy is. So, you know what? Before I do that, I'm going to tell you my fourth and fifth guys, and then I'll tell you who I think deserves a little bit more love. But my fourth guy on my list is Marshawn Lynch. I watched Marshawn Lynch this year before he got hurt, and I have to tell you, and I'll just give you my fifth guy too. It's Adrian Peterson. Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson are still in my top five of running backs in terms of talent, in terms of what they provide to teams. These are old school running backs. They're built like frickin' freight trains. They're like cars with space age engines with steel body frames. Not that fiberglass crap that when you hit something and hit another car with it, your car's all bent out of shape and the frame falls off. I'm talking about, 57 Chevy frames that, get T-boned by some modern car, and you could basically pop the door frame back into shape and barely have a scratch on it, and nobody got hurt while the other car got totaled. That's what Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson run like nowadays. They are both relentless backs with their power, but we'll go with Marshawn Lynch first. He has that great pulling, pushing power, that horsepower where someone grabs him or he gets into a pile, and before any linemen get into the fray to try and help push a scrum, he can push 2, 3, or 4 defenders 4, 5, 6, and 7 yards. And if they don't keep holding on to him, he's going to pull free of them. You've got that. His contact balance is still the best in the league. I mean, watch him run over Jarrell Casey. I showed a Twitter video of him running over Jarrell Casey, who delivered a direct contact hit to him in the hole, and Lynch just ran through it, knocked Casey on his back, probably the Titans' best interior defender, just left him on the ground and continued running through. And it's something he did every week this year before he got hurt. I mean, that direct and indirect contact balance, it even comes out well statistically. He and Nick Chubb have really the best metrics for that thus far at this point of the year. So you have that, but he also has the great stop, start, jump cuts, the ability to reaccelerate, the ability to, you know, cut his stride and change his stride. He can spin off of you. Like Ezekiel Elliott, he has a strong library of moves and he can switch it up on you and you don't know which way he's going to go with that. So when you combine Lynch and, you know, if you took Lynch and Elliott, they're to me, they're similar runners in many respects because of their ability to not show you their intentions and for you to not be able to guess what they're going to do. If Marshawn Lynch were younger, he'd be the top runner on my list. He just would be because of the fact that he also catches the ball. He also can pass protect. He can fake you out of your shoes. And he's not the fastest guy. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's probably still faster than Peterson at this point. Peterson's lost his top speed. But Lynch is probably was at his peak still the slowest of the backs on this list. And he'd still be the top guy because his ability to maintain his speed and intensity from the beginning of a run to the end of the run, even in his prime, and even now, is better than most running backs. It's one of the best traits he's had as a runner and maybe one of the best traits or one of he may be one of the best at maintaining that stamina of any runner I've ever seen because he can break multiple tackles, run through multiple hits. He can maintain his balance. He can change direction multiple times and still keep going. Just watch any of the quote beast quake runs, whether it's against the Saints in the playoffs or the Cardinals, a year later or a couple years later. You can see what I'm talking about with that. Even with some of the runs with the Raiders this year, you can see elements of that where it's like he just will not stop. And when you have a player who gives that kind of effort, you know, and you have good talent around you, you know, he's a guy that can get a lot done on his own, but he also can get a lot done when he has help, and he's versatile in that respect. So, I mean, it may seem strange to you. Why not a guy like, you know, Melvin Gordon or Joe Mixon or, you know, Saquon Barkley? But, you know, I think that Lynch is not on a very good team and he still played at a level that he was, you know, still putting up near top 10 production. But the way he was doing it, when you look at the way a running back needs to run and make decisions, man, he's still top five to me, as far as what we saw on film this year. Adrian Peterson, I mean, that's probably the more controversial one, and I can understand maybe not even having him on the list here, but I couldn't take him off the list. And the reason is that he still has some of the sharpest and most violent cuts you're going to see at this position. The way he can come to a full stop from a violent acceleration and stop and then reaccelerate is special. And the fact that he can still do this, still run through rips or wraps, still bounce off of contact, still pull and push people and play again like with that Marshawn Lynch relentless style. He's not as relentless as Lynch. He never has been, but he's close enough. He's above average. I may even say he's great at it, but not as great as Lynch is. But you put all that together and the ability to alter his stride, make lateral cuts, stop, start cuts, spin moves. He also has a nice array of abilities in terms of being able to, you know, make people miss and be able to push a pile and break tackles. He's proven this year, you know, there were people who said he couldn't run from shotgun. He's proven this year he can run from shotgun. He can run zone. He can run gap. He's always been able to do both. He can catch. He's not a great receiver, but he's not always used to such. And I think that that's the other thing that people have to understand. Sometimes you're in offenses that say we're going to be more I formation offenses, and we're going to use that back as the focal point for the run game to set up the passing game. And so they run a lot of I formation from that guy, and they don't run use him as much as a receiver. And I think that that's the case with Peterson. He's not going to be the guy that you're going to target in the same ways as Kamara all the time in the same full range. But he is a guy that can do all the traditional running back receiving roles that you're looking for in terms of screen swing passes, shovel passes, the ability to, you know, run occasionally can run maybe a, he may not run a Texas route really well, you know, the kind of angle route that works outside the defensive end and then back inside the linebackers, you know, and have to catch the ball over his shoulder. He's not great at that, but he can do it. But when you look at him, he still runs violently. He can still carry the load. And I thought he looked terrific against, you know, with the Cardinals last year, even though he didn't produce. So, you know, this is how I've scouted all the time, which is you look at the process, not the results. And the process is a back who can avoid penetration. He's a back who makes the right decisions so that he can maximize the yards that are available to him. He's a wise runner in that regard. And he's someone that does a lot more with less than a lot of backs do. So when I put these two guys together, that's my top five. You know, you got Peterson and Marshawn Lynch, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara. And then guys that I think deserve, you know, more love. Well, they're two rookies that come to mind right off the bat. And that's Saquon Barkley to begin with. I mean, looking at what he's done, you even with that line, with that Giants line, terrific cutback runner, someone who can get the top speed in a hurry. He's going to be able to win, you know, get chunk plays for you. He is a great receiver. He's someone that can make all the different types of catches and run a variety of routes for you and be kind of that Marshall Faulk type of player with, you know, maybe a little more speed, definitely more power, and near equal agility, maybe even better, slightly better agility. Saquon Barkley is going to be a special back in this league. He already is one. He's got a strong, stiff arm. So, you know, what I want to see from him, though, is I want to continue to see evidence of you know, the maturity that he sometimes lacked at Penn State. And then I also want to see a little bit more from him in terms of, you know, just pass protection overall. I thought he was a very good pass protector, but it's going to take a little bit more. You know, I wanted to see a little more reps with him in the NFL. And then with Nick Chubb, he's a guy that also is going to be on this list. I mean, we can see already that his metrics in terms of after contact balance have been as strong as Marshawn Lynch. We're already seeing the maturity as an inside runner, despite a Browns offensive line that doesn't have really good tackle play. He is patient. He can create yards after contact, whether it's indirect or direct against first and second level defenders. He's got that long speed. He's got, you know, better acceleration than you may realize. And I think that that's starting to dawn on people as he's getting to play more and more. And then also, I think he's an underrated receiver. He runs those Texas routes well, those angle routes, and we're going to see more of that. He's been able to make some catches lately. He's only averaging about two receptions a game over the past 3 weeks, but you can see that some of the throws that he's been earning from Baker Mayfield aren't always the most accurate, and he's still been making nice catches on passes that a lot of backs who are supposedly very good receivers drop. He's someone that, you know, he can also, you know, push that pile, pull defenders for extra yards, make them miss, jump stops, jump cuts, spin moves, stiff arms. He can get under you with his pads. He runs with very good pad level. The only back who doesn't run with tremendous pad level all the time, or the two backs who don't run with tremendous pad level all the time on this list above him, are Gurley and Kamara. You know, and both of them are capable of being able to drop their pads, but certainly Chubb is very good in that respect. I don't think we need to, we also don't want to sleep on David Johnson. You know, obviously Johnson, you know, has tremendous speed. He's a better gap runner than he is a zone runner, but he's gotten a little more patience in that regard. And he also is one of the best receivers in the league at his position, in terms of catching the ball and being able to run a variety of routes for you. He's just on a team that doesn't have a great offensive line right now, and the lack of, you know, terrific receiver play and a young quarterback on top of that create an offense that it just isn't that efficient, and it makes it a little bit easier to focus on a guy like David Johnson. So, you know, looking at those players, you know, I'd have to say if I was going to add anybody else into deserves a little bit more love, I mean, I don't know if I'd say LeSean McCoy deserves a little bit more love, but he's still a fine back playing in a, you know, on a bad team, but his future is getting closer to ending in the same way that Lynch's and Peterson's is, but he's still tremendous with his footwork, can still bounce it outside, has terrific vision inside, very creative, can obviously is a terrific pass catcher in his own right, and, you know, has that sudden change of direction that you're looking for, in addition to the vision to anticipate penetration and to be able to create off of that. So those are my five, along with what I gave you, I guess, three or four other guys that I think belong in that list. Certainly Kareem Hunt came fairly close to being on this list, but I'm looking for guys who I think are a little bit more creative, and maybe were a little bit better in terms of after contact. And Kareem Hunt is very good after contact, and he poses a good argument here to be on that list for that. But he's a guy that I think is very good at a lot of things and not quite not quite exceptional at anything on this list. And so, I mean, terrific player. We're splitting hairs at the very top. And obviously, my last two guys on this list were probably folks that most people would probably say, oh, they're too old to be on this list, or they're not, you know, but they were producing, you know, as well or better as some of the other guys that might have been in consideration as well. So that there it is. Next week, I'm going to do a top five tight ends. And in the meantime, I'm, you know, well over 100 players watched for the Rookie Scouting Portfolio publication. If you're new to this podcast, new to the Rookie Scouting Portfolio site, I do have a publication. It's 14 years old. It comes out every year, April 1st. And then there's a second edition of that publication that's an update for post-draft that comes out once the NFL draft is over, within a week of the NFL draft. And what I give you is rankings for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, usually anywhere between 150 to 170 prospects. It is the most in-depth look at skill positions who are, you know, rookie prospects heading to the NFL. It's the most in-depth you are going to find to the public eye. It's, you know, it's something that has been bought by media, by people in the league, scouts. There, I know of GMs who have copies. I didn't send them so that, you know, they were purchased. And, I know that, you know, it's something that I can just tell you that I'm proud to say that it is the best work that I do every year. So if you enjoy this podcast, I highly recommend you to go to mattwaldman.com to check out the video tour of the RSP, or mattwaldmanrsp.com to, you know, just follow the site, get the free content, and get a taste of what it is that I do for a living here for the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. And 10% of the RSP, the sales that I get, 10% has been going to Darkness to Light for the past 5 years. They are an organization dedicated to preventing sexual abuse, as well as training people in communities to learn how to deal with it when children report incidents of sexual abuse, which is oftentimes even more damaging when communities do not know how to handle it. So they train schools, civic organizations, you know, police departments, PTAs, you know, college campuses, you name it. So they do fantastic work. You can check them out at Darkness to Light. Again, D2L is also D2L.org, I believe, is the site. So you can check out more there. And again, you can follow this podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, as well as Blueberry and Stitcher. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.